Go to your Bible to Psalm 34, verse 4. Psalm 34, verse 4. And I'm reading the King James Version here. Psalm 34, verse 4, King James Version. So if you're here, thank you to those that are watching by live stream. Welcome to Faith City Church. Midweek service. I sought the Lord and He heard me. And He delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. If you examine this scripture from the historical events leading up to that writing, this man, the psalmist David, was being pursued by the king. And the king was after him. He was after his position and being intimidated by David's calling and what was to be in the future, and he tried to prevent that from happening. There are things in our lives that the devil would like to prevent you from having, but God's got your back, and He knows the beginning from the end. And so David here trusted in his God. And he was saying, as he said this, I'm going to go here and read a few more verses. And let's go to read Psalm 34 and look at it, read the first few verses. He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, if you just read that on a surface, you know, you're not going to get that much, especially reading the King James Version, unless you're enlightened by the Holy Spirit. It gives you, more revelation than you would. You know, I believe He does that. For most people, they just read the Bible on the surface. Somebody said that reading the Bible is like mining for gold. You have to work hard at it. You have to, studying the Bible is no easy feat for just an amateur. You have to study it and examine things and look at different things. You know, you have to look at historically the events leading up to different writings. You have to understand the times, the people, the events that led up to the writings. And you have to look at the different versions of the Bible, understand a little bit of the, you don't have to understand the Greek, but you should have a knowledge of the Bible that you can actually refer to it. You don't have to be a Greek scholar to understand the Bible, that's what I'm trying to say. But we take different words from the Greek and make it look at it and have more, sort of have more meaning to it so that we have more light on the subject. So, ringing in my spirit were these words the last little while: fear, stress, and worry. That kept coming up out of my spirit. I've been praying in the Spirit. I didn't understand. I didn't know that God was leading me. It's funny, you could pray in the Spirit and you don't know God's leading you. So every chance I remember, I would pray in the Spirit. It could be 5 minutes, could be 15 minutes, could be half an hour, could be only 2 minutes, could be 30 seconds. You should do it. You'd be amazed what happens. And so I don't know which word to say, but what I want to do all the time is pray in the Spirit and get God's leading. And the only way you can be blessed mostly in life is have God's Word leading you, have His Spirit leading you. That's the best. That's where the maximum blessing comes from. Is when you heard from God and God leads you. You can just kind of scramble around and figure out what God wants you to do. Now you have to remember, in finding God's will, there's primarily two ways you can find God's will in a general way. Number one is you read your Bible. Read the Bible every day. And you learn what God's will is. Say, for instance, I read the Bible every day. When I go to bed at night, I read the Bible. When I wake up in the morning, I read the Bible. So I'm constantly in the Word, and then I'm studying as well. So I'm reading the Bible sometimes just to get messages, lots of times to just read the Word for myself to be familiar with the Bible. So while reading the Bible, I recognize that certain things trigger me, and I find out things about it. So if you read your Bible, just go ahead and read your Bible. Don't care. Don't worry about getting a message. Just let God lead you and let Him trigger something in your spirit. God gets your attention. So read the Bible for knowledge. So the only way you're going to know God's will is read the will of God. Read the Scripture. So that's the general way, generally, you'll know the will of God. And when you're making decisions, you're going to refer to that general will, and that will guide you in everyday discussion. Is that okay? So the second thing, and this is the harder thing, especially when you're making decisions about job, if you're going to, big thing, especially like if you're going to marry somebody, if you're going to move to a new town, if you're going to be led to a new church, if you're going to led to move to a different side of the town or whatever you want. I mean, there's different things. Whether to hook up in relationship with somebody, and whether to go to Bible school, whether to go to university, whether to get a new job, or what kind of job. So these things are not found in the Bible. It doesn't say to go and work for the Inco Company of Canada. That's not in the Bible. It doesn't say move to Westfort. There's nothing like that in the Bible. There's nothing like move to Newfoundland. There's no scripture that says that. Move to Japan. Whatever. You won't find scriptures like that in the Bible. But, you know, why do I tell you read the Bible so that you can find God's will? Well, you're going to find principles in there that's going to guide you for sure. And if it doesn't make any sense to you, it has to make sense to you. Now, here's the second way you have to find. So you use the Word of God to gain understanding of the will of God, what He wants you to do. Secondly, the Spirit of God. So number one is the Word of God. The second thing is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is, how you're being led by the Spirit, is to pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. I can give you different scriptures that will show you that. The Bible tells us about 1 Corinthians 14, I believe, verses 2. And I don't know, can we put that up there? 1 Corinthians 14, 2. It says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, for no man understandeth it, or understandeth him." The last thing is, "Howbeit," notice that, "in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." The word "in the Spirit" means praying in tongues. Go to verse 4 for a second. "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church." He that speaketh in an unknown tongue. So in verse 2 talks about he that speaketh speaks not unto men, but unto God. So he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks unto God. So when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking to God, but no man understands it. Understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. So speaking in tongues, that verse is telling us that speaking in tongues is praying in the Spirit. How many follow me? So I'm telling you this, if you want to follow the will of God, you got to do this more often. You have to speak in tongues. How many of you speak in tongues? Okay, so you have to speak in tongues more and more to find the will of God. There's something happens to you on the inside that sometimes you'll get an interpretation and then you'll get a knowing. The more you practice it, it's like anything, like exercising. The more you do it, the more familiar something becomes. Here's what Brother Hagin used to tell us. He says, when you're making decisions about anything, okay, use your mind, use your intelligence, use wisdom, and get to the Word, use the Word of God. And the Word of God, everything in the general will of God is given to us so that we can be guided in life. And when you're making decisions that are contrary to the general Bible or the will of God, then you can't go that direction, or you shouldn't be doing that if it's going against Scripture. How many people can understand me? Okay, so if you're reading the Bible and you're making decisions that are contrary to that word, then you shouldn't be doing that. Or you shouldn't be going there or being in that activity, because you're going against the will of God. And anyone knows, the Bible says that if you want the blessing of the Lord, you have to do the will of God. You can't just be doing your own thing. People said there's God's will, there's the devil's will, and there's my will. You're either going to go in one direction or the other will. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8 to actually supplement what we gave you here as a thing. So we're saying, how do you find the will of God? You have to pray in the Spirit. You have to pray in tongues. Because praying in tongues, the Bible interprets itself. It says praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. Now, let's go back to that scripture again. I just got reminded of something. 1 Corinthians 14:2, is it we got? Okay, look at this. By the way, I've been studying on the last days. I've been studying on the return of Jesus and the rapture. How many people know the rapture could come anytime? It could come in 2 minutes' time. It could come in half an hour. It could come in 6 months' time. That Jesus can come anytime. there's the rapture happening. It's coming. It could happen anytime. And I can tell right now it could happen almost anytime. There's another occurrence that's happening, which is the return of Jesus. When the rapture comes, when we have the rapture, Jesus is not going to come here, but he's going to appear in the sky, and we're going to get taken up. Some people won't die. They'll just be, woo, change your body. And a twinkling of an eye, not a blinking of an eye, a twinkling of an eye. So quick, bang. And if you were in the grave, dead somewhere, or if you're lost at sea and the sharks ate you up, yeah? If you blew up in a plane crash somewhere, your body is going to come back together. That's supernatural. God will bring it all back together. Okay, some of you, it's blowing your mind. I'm telling you, it's true. This is true. But listen to this. Jesus is going to come back 7 years from the time the rapture comes. 7 years after that, Jesus is going to come back. Okay, because there's going to be what they call tribulation. And Jesus is coming back, and this time he's going to be standing here. Uh-oh, something's wrong. What is that? Oh, my chapstick. I'm glad one time, did I tell you a story about the chapstick? You heard about the story, I guess. Okay. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, now, unknown tongue, unknown to you. If I speak in tongues, it's going to be unknown to you. If I speak in tongues, it'll be unknown to me too, unless if God gives interpretation. And if you read further on, if you pray for interpretation, God will give you interpretation if he wants to give you that, if you need it, if you want it. Okay, watch this. He that speaketh an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but who is he talking to? Okay, so when you're talking, when you speak in tongues, you're talking to God. Your mind has nothing to understand, doesn't understand it, but your spirit is talking to God. So you're a spirit being. God is a spirit. When you speak in tongues, you're going to talk to God. So I said, Lord, I just want to talk to you for a while. So I pray in tongues. And I pray in the Spirit and just talk. I said, I don't know, but I just feel like I need to contact you. I need to talk to you about some things. I feel like you need to talk to me about some things. So I pray in the Spirit. And so you know what? You need to pray in the Spirit to get the will of God in your life. Okay, so he that speaketh unto tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. So when you're praying in tongues, you're talking to God. For no man understands him. Nobody understands you. Howbeit, he says, howbeit, in the Spirit, or with your spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now that word mysteries means hidden truths, divine secrets, not obvious to your senses. So you're speaking secrets, you're speaking, you're yielding, when you're praying in tongues, you're yielding to God's Holy Spirit to pray through you so that the will of God will manifest in your life. You follow me so far? So you have to believe this. You have to do this by faith. That's why praying in tongues is a faith thing. You can't just try to, you know, you could step out in faith and do it. Anybody in here, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you can just pray in tongues right now. You don't have to have any kind of somebody knock you over and you start shaking and like this, you know, fall on the ground, and you know, you don't have to do it. You can get up here and speak in tongues right now. My wife, you know, she got filled with the Holy Spirit and she didn't feel anything. Just start speaking in tongues. And somebody said, what did she talk about? He said, and they said, well, we don't know. He's not talking to us. She's talking to God. And so anybody here can pray in tongues. You don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to come on you. I'm waiting for Him to come on me. You know, what are you waiting for? For Him to just jump on you like a bear and just wrestle you around? Or what do you want? You have to, by faith, do it. So my wife, she just by faith and started speaking in tongues. I think she was just a teenager. She said, yes, a teenager. But me, I was in my 20s, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. Then for me, it was like, woo, 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 woo. It was junk. I'm crying away, tears. Just crying away, my mouth wide open, tears everywhere. Spit, snot, everything, you know. I came out of it, and I said, oh, hope nobody saw me. But my wife just, you know, praying in tongues. Looking pretty, but me, it was like, oh, man, like a disaster. But there was a different experience. Some people have different experiences. So don't, you know, I mean, if she tried to have mine, it would be different things. So it's by faith. For some reason, God had to give me something. But you don't have to. I was so hungry. Let me tell you something. When I was starving. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was starving. I prayed every night for a month because my friend said, you can have this. I prayed. I said, God, if it's for me, I want it. And when I had it, it was just a gusher, man. It came right out of me like I was throwing up. That's how it felt like. It literally is how it felt like. Couldn't contain itself. And just praying in tongues like that until everything came out of me. Came out of it. Oh, exactly. That's exactly what happened to me. And I'm driving home next day. I had to go to work in Kenora at 8:30 in the morning. Next morning, it was like 11 o'clock at night. And I had to drive Sunday. I stayed for a church service. I'm driving. I got up really early. And I left for Kenora to drive to Kenora. And he was going to be late for work. But I was just happy. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm driving down the road. And the devil came up to me. He said to me, that never really happened to you. What? Didn't you see me? I was drunker than the skunk, man. I didn't care what I looked like. I didn't care what I sounded like. I was just really, he tried to convince me I didn't have that. And you know what? Remember Jesus? Jesus was being baptized by John in the Jordan. I think it's the third chapter of Matthew, the latter end of that chapter, and Jesus was baptized in the Spirit, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit came on him. And it doesn't say he spoke in tongues, but the Father says, this is my beloved Son. You know, you see the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You see the Trinity right there. He said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Then right after that, the devil comes up to him, comes up to Jesus and said, are you really the Son of God? Right after that. And so you're not the Son of God. Prove it. Change these stones into wine. No, he didn't say that. Take these stones into bread or whatever. So he talks to him, right? It's a wrong version. Wrong version. And so that'd be a greater miracle. Okay, anyway. No, that would be actually just exactly the same thing. Anyway, and the devil comes up to him and try to convince him that he's not the Son of God. So I'm driving down the road, the devil says to me, that never happened to you. And the more I listen to it, I say, yeah, it didn't really happen to me, yeah. And then, you know, the devil comes immediately, the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, whenever you have a spiritual encounter, he'll come right away and try to steal it from you. He tried to steal your salvation. He tried to steal everything. Everything you get spiritually, he'll try to steal it from you. And I remember learning about tithing, and I got it. Just like I got what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And the devil, I got the revelation. The devil said, no, you can't do that. That's only for the Jews. That's the Old Testament. You can't do that. And of course, everybody tries to help him. But I stayed steady with it. That no, I understand what this is. Because the Lord immediately came to help me and got me out of debt when I did it. I got on my knees. I was there. And he got me out of debt. Thousands of dollars. I'm just a kid. Coming out of drug addiction, alcoholism, street life. And God got me out of it because I got on my knees. God, I'm giving you my all. I didn't have very much. But I was giving him my life. And he got me out of debt. And I know it works. Now he wants to convince you. The devil will always try to convince you that what God gives you is not real. Like some of you are believing for healing, and whatever you're believing for, he's telling you it'll never happen to you. Especially you. You're bad. You don't deserve it. Well, none of us deserve it. Jesus made us to be accepted. And he loves us. And so, that word there, mystery, means hidden truths. Not obvious to you and me, nor obvious to the devil, but obvious to God, that he wants these mysteries, these truths, to manifest in our lives when we pray in tongues. When we pray in tongues, we're praying those mysteries to come into manifestation in our lives. You know, if you ever get stressed out, if you ever get stressed, pray in tongues. If you're stressed out, pray in tongues. Amen. I'm going to say it again. If you're stressed out, pray in tongues. It's the best thing that ever happened to you. It'll prevent you from going crazy. It'll prevent you from overloading, blowing your top. And the devil does not want people to know about praying in tongues. You tell them, oh, that's of the devil. Yeah, people say, that's of the devil. And I always hear about, you know, one preacher said to me, the devil goes around telling people, you know, this tongues business is of the devil. Even preachers preach that sometimes. This tongues business is of the devil. So as a young boy in the Christian world, I think, you know, maybe, what am I getting here? The Bible says, Jesus said, if you ask the Holy Spirit, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you that. That's what he said in Luke. If he's not going to give you a demon. And so, somebody said that, you know, when people get spirit-filled Christians, if you're a spirit-filled Christian, you wouldn't go to the bank and try to rob the bank, take a gun, and ask that teller, give me your money. And start praying in tongues. Shakala maka, sakala maka, shakidi mala. Nobody's ever had that experience yet. Or, you know, you don't hear people in bar rooms drinking beer and going, shaka maka, lama, son, lama, li, lama, shata. Huh? You can't, this is never going to happen. You don't see people shooting up and praying in tongues, shakala maka, shakala mala. Or killing anybody. You're not going to be insulting people and hurting people and praying in tongues. So it's not of the devil. It's of God. So he says that when you pray in the Spirit, you are speaking mysteries. What are these mysteries? Let's go to Romans Chapter 14, chapter 8. You know, I know you heard this before, but some of you need to be reminded to do this again. You know, tomorrow morning you get up. How many of you are going to really think of something new to eat tomorrow morning? Every morning you're going to think of something new to eat. Recreate breakfast. Yeah. I'm going to eat toast in a just some profound way this week. No, you eat the same toast you ate last week, yesterday morning, if you eat toast or eggs. So what is the scripture? Romans 8. Let's go to verse 26. I'm almost done here, 802. You know what? We're supposed to be doing a lesson here in financial management. For he, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You know, the Holy Spirit helps your infirmities just like Jesus bore your infirmities. Matthew 8:17. But it says the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, for we do not know or we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You know, you ought to pray for some things, but you don't know how to pray for those things. And so, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, make it intercession for us. In other words, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. How does he do it? With groanings. That word groanings is the word inarticulate speech. That word means inarticulate speech. In other words, when you're praying in tongues, it's inarticulate. You don't know what you're saying. Nobody else knows what you're saying. It's inarticulate. It can't be expressed in human terms when you're praying in tongues. So the Holy Spirit, you don't know what to pray for, but if you start praying in tongues, this inarticulate speech or groanings, which cannot be uttered in human fashion, go to verse 27. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, and that God knows everything what the Spirit is saying, because he makes intercession, because the Holy Spirit makes intercession. He'll intercede for you, those mysteries, for the saints according to what? So when you're praying in tongues, you're going to be praying for the will of God for your life, for that marriage, for that financial thing, for that movement you want to make, whatever it is. You're praying over that area in tongues. Say, Lord, I don't know what to make of this, but I want to pray in tongues over this situation. I'm going to trust that you're going to give this to me. Somehow that message is going to come out to me. Somehow it's going to be working out. You have to believe that. Scripture. I want you to go see this scripture. It's going to also match up with the other scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14:14, go to the Amplified Bible. Because when you're praying in tongues, you're praying in your spirit. You're praying by your spirit, not your mind. Your mind doesn't understand it, so you're cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And he's using your vessel to pray the will of God. God needs vessels. God needs human people on the earth to bring the will of God to you or to somebody else. Today I had a visit with insurance guy. He came to talk to me this afternoon. I was in my office. We talked this afternoon. And he talked about all the ills that's happening in this world. What's going on? There's so much fear and different things going on. People dying. A young lady died from my community yesterday or the day before over here on Picton Avenue. A young girl, just a young girl. Her, she just come to school, going to university. I think it is university. Taking the college, taking the nursing program. And she died. I understand she was not a drug addict. She was not an alcoholic. Maybe wrong place, wrong time. That's what I'm hearing. I don't know, but this is not good. And a few days before that, somebody has died over here on Cumberland Street. Dead, dying. And so we have a lot of things to do to pray. I just felt like, you know, Lord, I got to pray. People need to pray. Pray for people. If it was your kid, you'd be praying. We need to pray for people. Pray for the families who lost these, but there's so much hurt, so much pain. And we need to pray. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, what is this? What's praying? My spirit by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. So that's what I wanted to show you, that when you're praying in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit praying through you to bring the will of God to you for your life. If you don't know what to do, start praying in tongues. If you're having a stressed-out situation, I know a lot of times in my life when we need money here at this church, sometimes I get stressed out moving over here. I was stressed out because all of a sudden I wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, we need $3 million. I thought we were borrowing $157, $57,000. And it started going up and up and up. I'm thinking, okay. I mean, now you can judge whatever you want. You're not me. But I have to make these decisions. I have to make decisions every month for thousands of dollars to pay for the television. So not only my own house and my own needs, but the ministry of the church. You say, oh, yeah, you can believe God. Yeah, you try it for a while. You know, and so you have to pay bills. So there's a time where, you know, I mean, the devil can try to get to you sometimes, so you have to get a hold of yourself. So I get a hold of myself. I don't worry about it, but there's sometimes he can get to you. So I say, Lord, I'm going to pray in tongues. We don't have, you know, governments giving us money. City doesn't give us money. There's no, you know, tax breaks, whatever, that, you know, those kind of things, that they don't give you any cash. We need cash. I know people always say, we're praying for you. When you're having trouble, they always say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm praying for you. But I say, I need prayer, but I also need cash. Amen. Amen. Send cash, please. So, I was talking about, I came here talking about, I wouldn't talk about fear, but I ended up doing this. But I understand this. I gave you the scripture earlier before. If you trust God, you're not going to have anxiety issues. You're not going to have fears. So you say, well, I'm having fears. Well, it's because you don't know God. When you know God, you trust Him more. The more you know God, the more ability to walk in the grace. The more ability you can relax and you can sleep better. Capiche? Amen, eh? Praise God, that's good. Okay, let's go ahead and stand up and close this meeting. Thank God for the grace of God. And we'll talk about fear next time. Fear, anxieties, I guess the Lord didn't want that. He wants you to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. I get it now. The Lord says, pray in tongues. If you got fear, anxiety, issues, that's what I got out of this. You start praying in tongues tonight. Father, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus. You said, those that trust in the Lord shall not be worried about the future. So right now, as a church, individually, we're casting down, we're bowing down before you in our hearts. Say, God, it's your plan and your will. We yield to you. We pray the prayer of commitment to you, of dedication, of submission to you, your plan and your will, what you want us to do. So we're rededicating our lives today, maybe a little bit more, a new level, a new trust area, a new area of giving to you. So in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this, Lord God, because we're committing our lives over to you. And those of them, people that may be watching online, that never trusted Jesus, you're going to ask Jesus, come into my life. I'm a sinner. I'm repenting. I'm turning away from my sin. I'm turning to you and giving you my life so that you can do something with my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.